Well rested from yesterday and had a good night last night. I'm thankful, so thankful for that. But, I know that according to the action, there'll be some here tonight that's lost. And if you're here tonight and lost, I would ask for your attention tonight. I would ask that that you give me a portion of your time, that you might listen to me tonight, that you would let the Word of God speak to you, because that's what it takes. The Word of God has to speak to our hearts, and with the help of the Holy Spirit to show us the condition that we're in. The reading lesson that's on my heart tonight is a very familiar one. I'm going to be taking it out of the third chapter of the book of John. John chapter 3. I'll just start reading in verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and we testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. With this reading lesson, I'd also like to turn over, if you would, briefly to the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews, and just one verse. Chapter 4, verse 12. Once again, another familiar verse. It says, For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, with my thoughts tonight, I have been blessed of late to be able to witness and see souls being saved. And with those souls being saved, there's something happens to them. In our reading lesson tonight, Jesus was explaining to this man named Nicodemus. He was explaining to him about a change that come about, or that will come about when they come to the point where they truly know Jesus as the Son of God, as God. He was trying to get him to know and understand that there are earthly things and that there are spiritual things that pertains to this in this teaching. You know, I have seen, well, he's not here tonight, and I'll just use him. Most of us have seen Nathan he's visited a few times. How quiet he was, and how kind of shy he was. He, to my understanding, got saved last week at Delray Mead. And really, the first time I got to see him was last night during the service. I don't know about y'all, but there was evidence of a change. Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus about being born again. Being born again of the Spirit of the living God. Something that is brought about by repentance and faith on those that believe in Him and trust in Him, that He would save them. And that when He saved them, that there was something happened to them. That there was a change within inside. Now, granted, this change that come about within him wasn't something that was visible to the eyes, as far as his face didn't change or his body didn't change. But there was something inside of him that made him different. It made his appearance different on the outside by his actions. He had something that he could tell people about. He had something different than he had from when he started seeking the Lord until he found him. There was something different. There was a change. Last night when Cole stood up, there was a change in his face. There was a change in his countenance. Not that we can see it, but we can see it. There's a difference in. You know, I think about, you know, you think about, Brother Mick preached about the other night, about sanctification, about those of us, you know, that we have to crucify this flesh and walk after Christ, to be more Christ-like. Well, that spirit, that change in them, in all of us that have been saved, is what helps us to do that. That Spirit of the living God that changes us. It helps us. It lets us know and understand. When we look at this verse here, it says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." If you're here tonight and lost, I want you to listen to this, please. God is able to look down into your heart. See, He knows that there's something that is not right. He knows that it's not righteous, that you have not been saved by God's grace. He knows that there has not been a change. There's not been a change inside. He looks at our hearts when we're lost, and He knows that we have not believed. We have not believed, truly believed with all our hearts in the only begotten Son of God that died on the cross to pay a sin debt for all mankind. We have not truly believed. We serve a God that's great and He's powerful. And this verse tells us that His Word. I believe that the reason that I want you to listen tonight is I believe that God give us this Word and the Holy Spirit working together or combined with this. this Word and this Holy Spirit has a way of cutting into your hearts and opening your blinded eyes to your lost condition. See, God wants all to come to repentance. He would have all to be saved. He wants everybody to be saved. He left His Word here for us that we might be saved. And He give us instruction and guidance on how to be saved. But we think about this. You think about the Word of God. We look back over in the very first chapter of the book of Matthew. John, I'm sorry. I drew a blank there. First chapter of the book of John. It says in the first verse, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. And all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." Jesus Christ is who it's speaking of here. Jesus Christ is that Word we speak of here tonight. For the Word of God, for Jesus, is a quickening spirit. It tells us over in the 15th chapter of the first book of Corinthians that Christ was a quickening spirit. For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. I believe that the Word of God can bring the hardest-hearted sinner down there is in this world. I believe that through and by the power and the Spirit of God that anybody can be saved. You know, if I didn't believe with all my heart tonight that everybody that's lost in this building could walk out a new creature in Christ Jesus, that they could be born again tonight, that they could be saved by the Holy Spirit of God, would be useless for me to be up here with you. But I believe with all my heart that the Lord can do that. And I believe that He will do that. I believe that He will do these things. This sword that He's speaking of here. You know, I was thinking today about a sword, and just it speaks of a two-edged sword here. Most of us know of, we have pocket knives and knives, you know, but not many of us would have a big double-edged sword. But you think about a big double-edged sword piercing. It speaks here that it divides and it separates. See, the Word of God, when it penetrates that stony heart and gets down in there, it divides and separates you from this world. And it shows you that you're also separated from a righteous God that wants to save you. You know, you think about being pierced. When we get stuck with something or something pierces our skin, it causes pain, doesn't it? We feel pain. We feel discomfort. It's something that we don't like. That pain and that discomfort and that, it's what we call conviction. That's what we call conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. As it actually, knowing from my own personal experience, I was made miserable. You know, and you also think about when you're pierced, that it hurts, and it doesn't just quit hurting. I also come to the realization when I was lost that. That lost condition went with me everywhere that I went. Until the Lord saved my soul, there was pain and there was discomfort. Because I knew, according to the Word of God, that I was separated from God. I had been taught by the preacher at church that I was separated from God, that I was a sinner until I was saved. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for that understanding. Tonight, if you're here and you don't know about what I'm talking about, if you've never experienced something that, if you're lost and you haven't experienced something that has relieved that pain and that discomfort, then you're still lost. But if you've experienced something where that pain and that discomfort is not there, well, I don't know. But there's a thing about this. You've got to be born again. You know, when that you think about when you go to a surgeon. Surgeon goes in and he cuts into the skin. And he looks down in there, but you know, when he's looking down in there, if there's not a light, he can't see what he's doing. Without a bright light to shine upon what he's doing, he won't be able to make that, perform that operation or do whatever he needs to do. You know, we read over that in the first chapter of the book of John that Jesus was that light. He sheds light upon this surgery, if you will, this operation of the heart where the Holy Spirit of God cuts into your heart and opens your heart and your mind up to the understanding that you're lost and separated from an almighty and all righteous God. He sheds light upon that through and by His Word. And through and by His Holy Spirit that has an effect upon your heart and lets you know where you stand. It's been stated already several times here that we serve a God that He's big enough to let you know if you're lost, and He's big enough to let you know that you're saved. And I'll go one step further. You're the only one that's going to know that you're lost, and you're the only one that's going to know that you're saved, because they can't nobody else tell. You're the only one. When you come to that realization and that understanding, when you think about how great a God we serve that literally looks into your heart, He divides and separates joint from marrow. He looks right down into your heart. And this verse says, He knows the thoughts and intents of your heart. See, there's one thing about God. He never, ever, ever makes a mistake. He doesn't make a mistake. If you've not been saved by God's grace, it's because you have not believed. You have not repented. And if you have been saved, it's because you did believe and you did trust, and He gave you the repentance and faith to be saved. The Lord does not make any mistakes. He looks down in our heart. You know, we as human beings, we can put on a pretty good show sometimes. We can put on this mask. We can put on this face that everything is all right with me and God and the world, and everything is just perfect. God looks down into the heart. You can't trick Him. You can't fool Him. Because He knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. He looks through all the smiles, the fake smiles, and the actions that so many times I've seen people put on. He looks right down into that heart. And in that heart, He applies that discomfort. He applies that pain and that suffering as that separation is occurring. The more that you come to the realization that you're not a child of God, that you're lost, the greater the pain, the greater the anxiety. I found out that to be. These that have been saved recently, I saw in their countenance and their actions a great change in them. a great change in them. I can't see their heart. I don't know their heart. But there was a difference about them. The Bible tells us that our spirit bears witness with other spirits, with the Spirit of God. Just to know these things and to understand them. Being born again. You know, Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. In this verse here, Jesus was telling Nicodemus, who was a lost man, that there is something that happens to you that you can feel, that you can know. You might not be able to see it coming. When he got saved last night, there's nobody saw anybody come here. Nobody saw anybody leave. But according to his testimony, he became born again right there on that bench. The Holy Spirit of God came into him, looked down into his heart. Saved his soul. That's the only way it can happen. And it's something, being saved is something that you can feel. The Bible tells us about being saved, and it has reference to being made safe. The word saved means to be made safe. You know? Sunday, I read a verse and it says, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade. We want to tell the world that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. We want to tell them about Jesus. We want them to know our Lord and Savior. We want them to be born again. We want them to be able to feel that Spirit that I'm talking about. Where he's speaking about the wind. We can't see the wind, but we can feel it, can't we? We don't know where it comes from or where it goes. But it's there. That's the way the Spirit of God is in us. I don't believe there's ever been a doctor in this world that could go through and do an operation. I don't care if it's open heart surgery or what. He can't look down in there. He can't see where the Lord will save our soul. It's not something for man to do, but it is God. As he looks deep down into us and he knows our thoughts and intents. If you're here tonight and lost, you know, the sentence of death is upon everyone that has not been saved by God's grace. Everybody that's ever been born, there's a sentence of death upon us. We're all going to die one of these days. We're all going to take our last breath. Brother Dylan said last night, we don't know that what tonight is not going to be the last night that we're ever alive. That it's not going to be the last opportunity that we ever have to see God. We don't know that. So I try to persuade you tonight, if you're here and lost, that you seek God. 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, I guess, chapter 1, verse 9 says, but we have this sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. God is wanting to save. He wants to save those that are lost. Judgment day is coming one of these days. And we don't know when it's coming. We truly don't. But once again, Brother Dylan, he just painted such an awesome image last night of the Lord's coming back. All those that were saved got up and walked out of this building, and all those that were lost were left here. They was left alone. Such a great image of just exactly what the Lord said. 25th chapter of Matthew, it says, "And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another. As a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left." Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, "Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." There's going to be a separation, a permanent separation. I'm not just talking about one that lasts for about 15 seconds that happened last night. I'm talking about a permanent, eternal separation of this world. The saved and the lost. Those who have been saved by God's grace will be going to heaven. Those that have not will be going to heaven. What a horrible thing to think about. But even as it is that way, that's the reason we tonight want you to take this opportunity. We want you to be saved. We want you to take this opportunity to seek the Lord tonight that you might be found. I pray that you will. Brother Bert, have a song. If you're here and lost tonight,